2 Thessalonians chapter number 1. I appreciate the Bible, don't you? God has given us a thought. As I was preparing to preach for Sunday, this verse came to my heart and my mind, and yet in the preparation, I missed it. And I guess it was early Monday morning, I got this verse on my heart again, and then the Lord just began to work in my heart concerning the verse. Let's read chapter 1 of 2 Thessalonians. It's a great chapter. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We're bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith, notice this phrase, in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. I wanted you to notice that because it'll help with the text. Verse 5, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which also ye suffer. Seeing it is a righteous thing that God, with God, to recompense tribulation to them, notice this phrase again, to them that trouble you. Now notice verse 7. This is the verse that I somewhere or another missed it. I believe it was God's will for me to miss it Sunday, because here we are tonight. And to you who are troubled, what's the next word? Rest. When is the hardest time? Brother Ralph, when's the hardest time in your life to rest? When you're troubled. A pastor loses sleep when he's troubled. A mom loses sleep when she's troubled. A dad loses sleep when he's troubled. I wish we had some leaders in America that were losing sleep because they were troubled over what's going on in our country and in our world. He said unto you who are troubled, I want you to notice, he said rest, but then he said with us. Think about the Apostle Paul. Think about the times that he was beaten, the times that he was stoned, the times that he was persecuted. Think about the statement that he made when he said, I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. We're living in a very, very dangerous time. And I believe God's people better learn to rest even in the trouble that we'll face, amen, before we get out of this world. I believe our preference would be to rest from the trouble, just to stay away from the trouble. But I'm telling you tonight, beloved, listen to me. You might think I'm crazy. Why in the world would Tennessee offer you a choice of license plates where one of them in the middle says, in God we trust, and in the other has everything else the same, but just take off the words, in God we trust. I'm a Tennessean. I'm an American. If you can't put that on your license plate, you ought to get out of Dodge. Amen. Go to California! What's wrong with us? Paul said, you're troubled. Rest with us. And tonight, the Bible said here, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to ask you a question tonight. I talked about the license plate. Reckon the state's got a record of that? Wonder why they'd want a record of that. I'm going to tell you something tonight. You want to know why they want to register the guns? They want to know who's got them. And when they know who's got them, then they'll know where to come get them. Amen. I'm just telling you tonight, beloved, that there was an old song when I was a teenager, a hippie, that said, you ain't seen nothing yet. And I'll promise you this, God's people, we ain't seen nothing yet. You mark her down. You say, Pastor, the gas is liable to be $5 a gallon, honey. If we don't do something in this country, it's liable to be $10 a gallon for long. What difference does it make if you make $15 an hour? Say amen. Everything they put their hands on, they mess it up. Amen. May God help us tonight to be able to rest in the middle of it all, knowing that the upper taker, the Lord Jesus, you can look for the undertaker, I'm looking for the upper taker. Every time somebody leaves this world that we love, I tell others, I hope we can go on the big load. Amen. We'll go out one way or the other. Brother Herman Anderson said, whether it's by way of the clouds or by way of the clods, I'm going to be with Jesus. Would you pray with me a moment? And I want to bring a message tonight entitled, Ye Who Are Troubled, Rest With Us. Father, thank you tonight for your people. Lord, I pray tonight that somewhere or another you would convey to their hearts how precious they are to you, how precious they are to this pastor, and how precious our fellowship is in these days that we live in. I ask you tonight, our Father, to help us to glean from the Word of God. Lord, the Apostle Paul, he left us a wonderful example. He said in the book of Corinthians, thanks be to God, which always causes us to triumph through our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, I pray tonight, you would help us not to be defeated saints, but to be victorious. Help us, our Father. Lord, even in troublesome times, to be able to rest in the person of the Lord Jesus, in the promises of the Word of God. Help us, we do pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I told Brother Lowell a while ago, I was going to open up tonight with something that made me think of he and Brother Brian. They were in an airplane years ago, and Brother Lowell was the pilot. I guess, Brother Lowell, you wouldn't mind me saying that Jesus was the pilot, and you were the co-pilot, amen, and Brother Brian was the passenger. He looked over at Brother Lowell and said, Brother Lowell, said, if something were to happen to you, he said, do you think I could land this plane? Brother Lowell said, no. I bet that brought a lot of comfort to Brother Brian's heart. I'd already made up my mind, Brother Lowell, if I ever went up with you, both of y'all was going to, you and that other preacher there, Brother Castle, you're both going to be up there, amen. I wasn't going up just one of you, amen. I wanted a backup plan, amen. What I'm about to read to you tonight, I believe makes a point. Many times we're in trouble and we're not even aware of it. I want you to listen to this. It's funny, but it gets the point across. The photographer for a national magazine was assigned to get photos of a great forest fire. Smoke at the scene hindered him, and he asked his home office to hire a plane. Arrangements were made, and he was told to go out at once to a nearby airport where the plane would be waiting. When he arrived at the airport, a plane was warming up near the runway. He jumped in with his equipment, and he yelled, let's go, let's go. The pilot swung the plane into the wind, and they soon were in the air. "Fly over the north side of the fire," yelled the photographer, "and make 3 or 4 low-level passes." "Why?" asked the pilot. "Because I'm going to take some pictures. I'm a photographer." "That's what photographers do. They take pictures." After a pause, the pilot said, "You mean you're not the instructor?" Pastor, why did you read that? Listen to me carefully tonight. Because we're in trouble. And there's a lot of people, Brother Steve, that are not even aware of it. That pilot wasn't aware that he was in trouble. He thought the instructor was riding with him. I've used this years ago as an illustration. I used to go to the mountains and I'd look at this big tree and I'd say, "Well, I got to get back to this tree." And then I'd go a little while and I'd see something else. I'd say, "I got to get back to this." And the first year or two that I hunted, I got lost 3 or 4 different times. And being lost is not too bad until you realize you're lost. Until you make you 2 or 3 circles, Brother Larry, there's the same tree. And you realize, this ain't going well, amen. And it's dark. I've learned years ago to carry 2 flashlights. You say, why? Because when the batteries go out in the flashlight, you can have spare batteries in your pocket. But if you don't have a little light to put them in the other light, it's difficult. But I'm telling you tonight, America's in trouble. The world's in trouble. But God's saying to His people tonight, rest. I hope when we leave this building tonight, God will speak to all of our hearts the way He has spoke to mine. We ought to be shouting. You want to know why? We're on the threshold of the coming of the Son of God. It's laid out for us right here in the book of Thessalonians. Only he who will let till he be taken out of the way. And I believe the Spirit of God, beloved, is leaving out of here with the church of the living God. I believe tonight that there are times in our life, listen to me carefully, how many of y'all have prayed for America and prayed for revival? I believe there are times when the trouble, listen to me carefully, not always, but there are times when the trouble can be a blessing in disguise. I read this illustration. It illustrates what I'm talking about. In Somerset, there was an English writer who once wrote a story about a janitor at St. Peter's Church in London. One day, a young vicar discovered that the janitor was illiterate, and he fired him. Jobless, the man invested his meager savings in a tiny tobacco shop, where he prospered. He bought another, expanded, and ended up with a chain of tobacco stores worth several $100,000. One day, the man's banker said, "You've done well for an illiterate, but where would you be if you could read and write?" "Well," replied the man, "I'd be a janitor at St. Peter's Church in Neville Square." You see, what happened to him looked like trouble, but God was using it. Are you listening to me? How many remembers a statement I made, I don't know if it was Sunday or not, that sometimes God uses trouble to get us. No, I said adversity. That's what I said. Adversity to get us where He wants us. It could be, beloved, listen, that when we're praying for America and praying for revival, that we don't understand and realize, but really we're praying for some troublesome waters. What's it going to take for our country to wake up? I'm telling you what, in our country, I have a little hope. You say, "Pastor, why do you have hope?" Because of the thousands upon thousands upon thousands of young people that I saw in Washington, D.C. standing up against the murder of the babies. I have hope. Yes, we're in trouble, but we ought to rest in that time of trouble. I believe with all of my heart, beloved, listen, that in America, God can send revival. I believe with all of my heart that there are some that are going to be able to see that the direction is wrong, way wrong. Amen. You say, "Pastor, where did our trouble start?" I tell you where our trouble started. when we turned our back on the Word of God. Let me just say this tonight. I'm not trying to be mean, but a lot of people say it started when we took it out of the school. I believe it was out of the home a long time before it was out of the school. I believe, Brother Lowell, if it had been in the home, that parents would have been standing up in that day like they are today, realizing what their children are being taught, amen, and realizing, beloved, the heavy hand of the government that's been put upon them for no reason whatsoever. I believe with all of my heart that parents are waking up in America. You say, Pastor, this virus has been terrible. I say amen to that. But I'll tell you what it did. It caused some parents to stand in their home, look over their youngin's shoulder at what was on that screen, and many of them were highly alarmed and disgusted with what their children were being taught. What I'm trying to tell you is sometimes the trouble is a blessing in disguise. We got a man in the White House right now. Hadn't been too long ago, a year or so maybe. I'll tell you, Putin's afraid of me. I'll stand toe to toe with him. I'm going to tell you something, brother, about the devil. He ain't afraid of nobody. And there ain't but one that can handle him. Even Michael the archangel durst not bring a railing accusation against him, but he said, the Lord rebuke thee. You say, Pastor, what's the hope of America? The Lord. What's the hope of America? The Bible. And I'm telling you, beloved, I believe it's fixing to get bad enough that there's going to be a remnant of people turn back to the old way and turn back to the Word of God. Let's get to the message tonight. Let's get to what's on my heart tonight. Ye who are troubled, rest with us. I think I've got three or four things here tonight. Number one, we ought to rest because of what's on the inside. In verse number 2, the Word of God uses the word grace unto you and peace. I want to ask you something tonight. I mean, he's got some peace on the inside. Amen. There may be, listen, trouble all around, but the child of God has the Spirit of God. If a person left the altar without the Spirit of God, he left the altar without Christ. And if he leaves the altar with the Spirit of God, then the Spirit of God says, I'm going to give you something. Give you some love. I'm going to give you some joy. I'm going to give you some peace. I'm going to give you some long-suffering. I'm going to give you some gentleness. I'm going to give you some meekness. I'm going to give you some faith. I'm going to give you some goodness. And ain't nobody can cry about against that, because against it is no such law. Hallelujah. We ought to rest because we have something down on the inside this world don't know anything about. One preacher asked a fellow, he said, how you doing? He said, pretty good under the circumstances. He said, what are you doing under there? God's people, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Amen. I don't believe the Apostle Paul lived under the circumstances. We ought to, beloved, listen, we see the peace in verse number 2. Look at the power in verse number 3. The Word of God said here, your faith groweth exceedingly. Let's tie that in with verse number 11, where the Word of God said, wherefore also you pray, we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling, fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness, and the work of faith with power. Thank God. Listen, the Bible said, listen, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly according, listen, above that which we can ask or even think, according to the power that worketh in us. Every child of God has got peace in his heart. And he's got the power of God that needs to be unleashed in his heart to help him in his life, to help his family, to help his community, to help his country. And then if you'll look at patience, look at verse number 4. What else do we have on the inside, so that we ourselves glory in you, in the churches of God, for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure? We met Charity this morning over in Johnson City. Olivia had an eye appointment. And so We hated to do it, but we took Sawyer with us for a while, you know, while Charity and Olivia were in the doctor's office. And And she said, "Now, Papa, you know how this is going to go." I said, "How, honey?" She said, "Well, first we're going to have to wait out here on the parking lot." And she said, "Then they're going to call us." And said, "Then we're going to have to go inside and wait on the inside." And the way she was voicing it, Brother Steve, you wouldn't believe a seven-year-old could voice it like that. You understand what I mean? But you say, "Pastor, why are you telling?" Then the doctor, they're going to call us back into the room, she said, "and we're going to have to wait again." Is anybody getting the picture? Say amen. You know what God's people need? A good old dose of patience, because He is coming and we're waiting on the King. Say amen. And I believe with all of my heart, listen, down on the inside, we've got peace and we've got that patience. We've got the power of God in our heart. Amen. Now, we ought to rest because of what's on the inside. But let me give you this. We ought to rest because of who's on the inside. Look at this with me in verse number 12, would you? "That the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified." Somebody tell me them next two words. "In you." Glory to God. It's really not what you know, but it's who you know. The Word of God said, "Christ in you, the hope of glory." Amen. Glory to God. You say, "Pastor, why should we rest? Look at what we have on the inside. And look at who we have on the inside." I'll tell you something right now. We ought to take our troubles to Calvary. You want to see suffering? You want to see persecution? You want to see trouble? Look at Calvary. Amen. And our troubles begin to diminish. I believe with all of my heart, we ought to rest because of what's on the inside. We ought to rest because of who's on the inside. Listen to some of these verses. I printed these off because I hope they'll be a blessing to you. "To whom God would make known the riches of His glory and the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. At that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you." I don't know about you, but that sounds pretty good to me. Say amen. You say, "Pastor, how you know you're saved forever?" Because I met the one that is eternal life. I met the one that gives eternal life. Amen. Watch this now. Verse number, John chapter 15. Jesus said, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except you abide in the vine, no more can ye, except you abide in me. Examine yourselves," Corinthians said, 2 Corinthians 13:5. "Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you?" How many's glad you know that tonight? Glory to God. He's in me. I'm in Him. And we're in the Father. That's a pretty good spot to be in times of trouble. One God, Ephesians 4, 6, and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. That's Christ. Philippians 1, 6, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it till the day of Jesus Christ. John 16, 33, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. The one that lives inside of us has overcome the world." Amen. 1 John 4, 4, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater," it doesn't say greater is what that's in you, "greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world." I don't know about you tonight, but I believe we ought to rest. I believe we ought to rest because of what's on the inside. I believe we ought to rest because of who's on the inside. Let me give you this tonight. I'm no less excited about these things that God spoke to my heart about. Number three, I believe we ought to rest because of who's on the outside. You say, "Pastor, what do you mean by that?" Look at verse number 3. "We're bound to thank God always for you." What's that next word? Let me have 10 men right quick. Quick as you can, get up here. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10. None of you even got an elbow in the ribs, did you? Amen. 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 I'll show you what God put on my heart here. We're talking about resting because of who's on the outside. The Word of God said, we're bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. All right, circle me, guys. Circle me! You say, Pastor, what are you doing? I'm resting. I'm resting, Brother Gary. Not only because of what's on the inside, but the brethren. It wouldn't have mattered. I didn't pick out 10 men tonight. Any man in this church could get up and I could look them in their eyes and say, I love you, brother. I love you, brother. I love you, brother. And there's not a man in this church that I don't believe loves me. Yes, we're in trouble sometimes. But thank God for those that are on the outside. Amen. I'll take that, Brother Houston. Any day. Any day. Y'all guys go get you some hand sanitizer in case I'm contagious. Amen. 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 Amen, Brother Larry. Hey, we're not in this thing alone. I believe, Brother Ralph, the closer we get home, the more we're going to need one another. Thank God we're surrounded with believers, with people that love God, love the Bible, love the church, love the pastor. Brother Larry, it ain't that way everywhere. We ought to just shout, amen. Because of the brethren. Because of who's on the outside. Take your Bibles and turn with me to 2 Kings, would you please? 2 Kings, chapter number 6. I didn't mark my place in my Bible, so it'll take me just a moment. 2 Kings, chapter number 6. I'm trembling right now. I can't even hardly get a hold of the pages of my Bible. I'll tell you why. Because this truth will help us in these troublesome times. I believe one of the devil's favorite tactics, Brother Steve, is to back a man or back a woman over here in a corner and make them think they're all alone and make them think they ain't nobody that cares. And it's a lie out of hell. Say amen. I'm telling you, if you've got him living on the inside, you care about those that are around you. Well, glory. I want to start reading here tonight. 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse number 11. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing. And he called his servants and he said unto them, will ye not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? And one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel. He telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. And he said, go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he's in Dothan. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host. They came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host encamped the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servants said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? He said, Pastor, what's going on in the servant's heart? He sees the enemy, and he knows they're surrounded, and he's troubled in his heart. Yeah. I'm going somewhere. And the Word of God said, and he answered, fear not. Glory. For they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Here's my next point in the message, beloved. There was 10 men that you can see, and I thank God for them. But aren't you glad there's the angel of the Lord that encampeth round about them that fear him? You can't see him tonight, but I promise you, the child of God is under the protecting hand of God. Anything that comes in our life must first run across his desk. Read the first chapter of the book of Job. Old Slewfoot had to get permission. And that just meant God was working in the life of Job. Beloved, tonight, it's not only those that are around us on the outside, beloved, that we can see. Brother Mays Jackson years ago, he said, there's two angels that follow me everywhere I go. And he said, I know their names. He said, one of them's name is Mercy, and the other one's name is Goodness. He said, because God said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You come down there, listen, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I'm going to tell you something tonight. This pastor has spent some troublesome days and nights in the years that I've been saved. Yesterday was my spiritual birthday. Saved in 1987 on February the 22nd. But I promise you this, I've never been through a battle alone. Always been somebody on the inside. Somebody on the outside praying, trying to be a help and a blessing along life's way. Let me give you this and I'm done. We'll have Brother Steve to come. I'm going to sit down and enjoy this bottle of water, Brother Steve. If I get choked, you might have to come over and burp me. Amen. Amen. The next thing I want to give you, if you'll read with me in chapter 1 of Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, I said we ought to rest in the time of trouble because of what's on the inside, because of who's on the inside, because of who's on the outside. But let me give you this. We ought to rest in the time of trouble. Look at verse 5. Which is the manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which also ye suffer. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Look at verse 8. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Wherefore also we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling, fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus. Chapter 2, verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, neither by word, nor by letter, as from us, as the day of Christ is at hand. Let me give you the last thing in the message. We're going to look at one more text in Revelation. Let me give you the last thing. Not only should we rest because of what's on the inside, who's on the inside, who's on the outside, but we ought to rest tonight, Brother Gary, because we're on the right side. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Everything I just read, beloved, you're on one side or the other. You're either those that believe, or you're those that are going to stand in judgment of flaming fire when our Lord comes. Turn to Revelation chapter number 19 tonight. Revelation chapter number 19. I don't know about you tonight, but there was a day in my life when I was on the wrong side. And I'm thankful that God spoke to my heart. I'm thankful that I wanted to change masters. I'm thankful that I had had enough, a belly full of sin. And I'm thankful that God picked me up off of the wrong side and put me on the right side. Watch what the Bible said. And I saw heaven open, verse 11, chapter 19. And behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire. And on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Watch this now. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. You say, Pastor, who were those? You need to just look back in the chapter a little bit. You'll see the marriage of the Lamb. You'll see the children of God. Listen to me. On that day, beloved, we're going to be real glad we're on the right side. That we're behind him, Brother Lowell, and not in front of him, being consumed with the spirit of his power. Look what the Word of God said here. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. He treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his name, his thigh, a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I don't know about you tonight, but I can rest. I'll lay down after a while, and I will not be concerned about whether or not I'm on the right side. I believe it was Elijah, wasn't it, brother, on Mount Carmel, that stood up and said, who's on the Lord's side? Maybe that was Moses that said that. I believe Elijah said something like this, if God be God, then how long halt you between two opinions? That was Elijah. I may be getting those two mixed up. But I'll tell you what, God knows who's on the Lord's side. And beloved, really, 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 really down deep, deep, deep in your heart, you know whether or not you're on the Lord's side. Amen. I appreciate the Lord. We can rest even in these times of trouble. We don't have to be torn all to pieces. Amen. We can know he's coming. Can I tell you something? It's going to get worser. You say, that ain't a name. Well, you watch it. It might not be a word, but it's going to get worser. Amen. Because the love of many shall wax cold. Amen. Iniquity shall abound, and the love of many. I'm telling you, beloved, this Bible said, male and female created he them. Promise you this, Mike and Tanita's little baby came into this world. Nobody walked by the nursery and said, wonder what it is. Because God's still making little boys, and God's still making little girls. And we're in a mess. But God wants us to rest, even in the mess. Say amen. I wonder, Brother David, in the book of Thessalonians, the way Paul was talking to him, brother, if the heat wasn't turned up a whole lot more on them, even in that first century, than it is on us tonight. Amen. But I guess God's trying to get us ready, beloved. He's trying to get us ready. Amen. Ready. Because what's coming might not be too pretty. I saw an announcement this afternoon. That just watched a little bit of news this afternoon. The DOD, the Department of Defense, they said, if there's a Russian invasion, it will not be without bloodshed. I thought to myself, I could tell little Sawyer, there's this army over here, honey, and they've got tanks. And they're riding in over here. And these people over here, they've got some weapons, maybe not as much weapons as they've got. And they're fixing the fight. What reckon what's going to happen? Sawyer probably say, Papaw, somebody going to get killed. I just wondered, why would you even have to put that up there? If they invade, it will not be. They act like we ain't got a brain in our head. And they act like we don't know what's going on. And there is a multitude in America that do not know what's going on. All they're interested in is the next tattoo parlor or the next high. Amen? Place to pitch your tent. I'm just telling you tonight, we're in a mess. But Jesus, that's what Paul's message was. He's coming. Rest. He's coming. Rest. He's coming. Father, thank you tonight for our people, the privilege to be here. I pray, dear God, tonight as we gather in this altar and pray, that we'd realize, our Father, that you're a prayer-answering God. And Lord, you did say, if my people, which are called by my name, Lord, what an honor it is to be called by your name, would humble themselves and pray, seek your face, turn from our wicked ways. God, that you'd hear from heaven. You said you'd forgive our sin, you'd heal our land. God, how we need you today. I pray, Lord, today you would help us. Help us to mind the words of the Apostle Paul when he said, ye who are troubled, rest with us. In Jesus' name, amen.